is to have all these children here this morning, to have you here this morning. And sorry if I didn't shake your hand. I'm not mad at you. I just don't want you to be mad at me if I get you sick. Just pray for me as I preach this morning. And we're just grateful to be in God's house today. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. And while you're doing that, I'm going to get a swig of water here. Exodus chapter 33, and we'll go through verses 1 through 3, and then we'll turn over to chapter 34, and that's where we'll finish out our sermon this morning. A gentleman was watching football one Saturday afternoon, and he had the remote in his hand. He was laying on the couch, and the phone had rang. And he walked over to the phone. He still had the remote in his hand like most men. They're trying to multitask, doing two things at one time. And even while he was on the phone, he was interested in keeping up with the game because he didn't want to miss any of the big plays, didn't want to miss any of that. And so he couldn't see the TV, but he figured that he could half listen in. And so he pointed the remote toward the TV, and the remote would not... the volume would not go up because he was too far away. And so nothing happened. The volume didn't go up. Even though he tried for the volume to go up, it wouldn't go up because he was too far away. And it's not that the remote didn't work. It's not that the TV didn't work. He was just too far away for it to work. And you know, sometimes Christians will say things like this: you know, God just doesn't work. When in reality, the problem is that they are just simply too far away. It's not that Jesus doesn't work. It's not that the Bible doesn't work. It's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't work. If a person is not in the vicinity, then it will certainly seem that way. And so closeness and intimacy with God is what provides the full experience of walking with Him and what it really means to be a true Christian, being close and intimate with God. And so the title of our message today is Drawing Close to God. And so we find ourselves in Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 through 3, and it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it to them. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst.'" Now keep in mind that phrase right there. "Go up into the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." This morning, we're going to be talking about the life of Moses. Moses had an experience with God that really shook him to his core, to his foundation of his being. And God's presence was so evident in his life that Moses' face literally glowed when he would walk around. He had an encounter with God that was so real to him that his life, that his face shone, and he had to wear a veil when he went out in public. And when he spoke with God face to face, he would take that veil off of his face. And you see, the Hebrew people knew that when he spoke with God, that he had a message from God because his face would glow. And unfortunately, like many of us sometimes, that glow had gone in his life. The shine, the sparkle had faded. But Moses would continue to wear that veil. Moses wore that veil because he didn't want the people to know that the glow and the glory had gone. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here today, this morning, and you're wearing a veil to hide the fact that the glory is not there anymore in your life for God. I mean, there was a time in your life when you and God were so close But now things have changed. Well, let me just tell you, God has not changed. He never changes. But we have changed if that has happened to us. God has not moved his position. He's still there. But if that has happened to us, then we have moved our position. There was a time maybe when you wanted to serve here at Ebenezer Welcome Baptist Church, but the devil spoke to you and said, you know what? Why do you want to serve down there? Why do you want to get involved in those things? Those things will become a burden to you, not a blessing to you. But folks, I want to tell you, serving God is a blessing. And sometimes the devil will say, don't do those things. They'll just tie you down. Don't you want to do the things that you want to do? You don't want to be tied down. Let me just tell you something, folks. When Jesus was on the cross, he wasn't tied down. He was nailed down. Maybe we don't pray as much as we used to anymore. Maybe we don't study our Bible as much as we used to, or our Sunday school lesson like we should. Many are wearing a veil today. Outwardly, they're saying, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you're so close to me. Jesus, you're so real to me and precious to me. But inwardly, they're hiding behind a veil. And so I want to give you some things from God's Word this morning that will maybe help you to get the glow back, to get that shine back, that sparkle back in your life. First of all, priority. Priority. Number one, priority. And if you look there, and in verse 3 it says, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Now, look down at verse 15 of chapter 33. And Moses said this to God. He said, God, if your presence is not going to go with us, then I don't want to go. I don't want to go, God. You see, you must make the decision for God to be a priority in your life. God told Moses, I have promised you the land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to get that land, Moses. I'm going to send an angel, a mighty angel, to go before you. This angel is going to drive out all the Canaanites in the land. But Moses, I am not going to go with you. You will have victory and success in the land, but you will not have my presence. And when the people heard this, They mourned. They mourned. They were upset about it. They had sense enough to know that without God, what good is all the rest of it? And so, I mean, what good is it to have a gift without the giver? I mean, they were going into a land, but the Lord wasn't going to bless them with his presence. And Moses said, Lord, I'm not going to go unless you go. Lord, if you don't go, I'm just going to stay right here. And I think some people today would have settled for the blessing without the blesser. Thank you, God, for eternal life. Thank you for the gift of heaven. Thank you for the promise, Lord, to see me through it all, God. And people would just settle for that without the presence of God. You know, just think for a moment. Elizabeth and I, we're married. And I say to Elizabeth, you know, Elizabeth, I love you, but I don't want to live in the same house with you. I still want to be married to you, but I don't want to live with you. And Elizabeth, I will do all the things that you want me to do. I will take care of the maintenance on the house. I'll cut all the grass. I'll even wash the dishes if you want me to, which I don't like to do. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I'm not going to live with you. All expenses paid, all the maintenance done. But guess what, Elizabeth? I'm not going to live with you in the same house. Now, some people have that kind of relationship with God. Do you want what God will give without having God himself? I hope not. I pray not. Many people settle for separate maintenance. And I pray that you have a desire to know God intimately and draw close to him. And quite frankly, all of us need to be growing Christians. I want to be a husband. I want to be a father that desires the conscious presence of God in my life. And I want to tell you something, folks. I had an opportunity to go to that marriage conference. And that really had an impression on my life. Not that I was being a bad father, but I could be a better father. Because I'm the leader of my home, and God says, if you're going to lead, then you have to be close to me. You have to desire to be intimate with me, because you can't lead without me first leading you. And so you see, you can have provision, you can have protection, and still not have God's presence. And don't think because you have everything that you want in life that you know God intimately. The Bible says that God gave the Israelites the desires of their heart. But he told Moses, he said, they don't know my ways. They don't know my ways. And the problem with many people today is that they're satisfied with just doing fine. They have nice things, nice homes, nice cars. Children are perfectly healthy. They do well in school. Their job is good. They have all the money stockpiled in the bank. Their retirement is good. And they're just satisfied with that. God help us. You see, Moses said, God, if I don't want Canaan, I don't want the promised land without you. If God were to come to you today and God were to say to you, I'll give you anything that you want. Every pleasure you desire, nothing will be withheld from you. You will live forever. Every desire of your heart will be met. Nothing will be a sin to you. You can have whatever you want. With this one exception, you will never see my face. Question, would you take that deal? I pray not, I hope not. If you can answer no to that question, friend, then you have the pure love of God in your heart. If a chill went over your soul when I said, never see my face, thank God for that chill. God demands, God deserves preeminence in our lives. And so you must make the decision today to make God a priority in your life. You can have all the protection. You can have all the promises. But what good is all that without having the presence? And so the second thing is prepare. Look in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 34. Turn over to chapter 34 and look at verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets with which you broke. Now, let's just stop right there. You remember Moses, he went up to the mountain, and God was giving him a word. And God had told them, they're down there worshiping a calf, Moses. And he came down, and he saw that, and he was upset about that. And he threw the first tablets down at the foot of the mountain. They broke. And then he burned that calf, that idol that they were worshiping, in fire. Folks, that's a word to all of us. If we're going to be close and intimate with God, God says you got to get the idols out of your life. You've got to get those idols out of your life. But look at verse 2, and he said, so be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. God told Moses, he said, Moses, you be ready in the morning. When you rise up, you be ready. When you wake up this morning, Moses, did you make the decision in your life to come here to God's house to do business with God? You see, so many times we come and we just pass through and we don't even hear what God has to say because we have so many distractions and we don't even focus on what God is saying to us. Because we're worried about all these other things that maybe don't even matter. And we're not focused on what really matters, and that is to hear from God. And God is saying to us, when you come into my house, when you come into my presence, you need to come here to do business with me. Because God does business with people who mean business. And I pray that right now you have this one thing upon your heart, and that is to seek the Lord. You have to prepare to seek the Lord. Early in the morning, Maybe when you go to bed at night, prepare to seek him. You see, there were two people in the Bible. One was named Rehoboam. And the Bible says about him that he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And then there was a king named Jehoshaphat, a young king. He was a good king. The Bible says that he did good because he prepared in his heart to seek the Lord. One said he did evil because he didn't seek the Lord. The other said that he did good because he did seek the Lord. And so many times when we're not seeking the Lord, the devil will come to us and he will get us off track. And God is saying, you need to look at the cross today. You need to focus on the cross. You need to focus on me. And so priority, and then prepare, and then third, there needs to be a place. Look in verse 3 and verse 4. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. And so he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. Moses is the pastor of 3 million people. Imagine that. And here are these people who are backslidden. They're complaining. They're bothering him. They're murmuring. And they were criticizing him. Folks, let me just say this. We need to be an encouragement to our pastor. We need to be an encouragement to our pastor. Not a hindrance to him. God told Moses, you need to lead these people, Moses. Why? Because you need to be along with me. You need to find this place that I have told you about, Mount Sinai. You need to come up here. And you don't even need the animals to distract you, Moses. You need to get rid of them too. You need to get all the distractions away so I can tell you what I need to tell you. You see, this was important for Moses because Moses was getting ready to intercede on their behalf later on. You know, some of the best times of my life have been spent, and I don't mean this in a mean way or a funny way, away from my wife and away from my children when I'm alone with God, praying for them, praying for my children. Because men, we need to do that. Praying that God would help them be a better mother, a better wife, a better person, a better Christian. We need to be alone with God. Parents need to be alone with God. Maybe together, by themselves. Pastors need to be alone with God. These people were complaining, they were murmuring, and Moses was tired of it. I'm sure he probably said, Lord, I'd rather be swallowed by a whole whale like Jonah than to be nibbled to death by all these menaces. But we need to be in a place of isolation with God. You see, the very Son of God taught us that. And whatever your position is, whoever you are, God has given you a responsibility to get along with him. You see, Abraham got along with God, and God gave him the great covenant. Daniel got along with God, and God gave him prophecy and strength. John got along with God on the Isle of Patmos, even though he was isolated there, and God gave him the book of Revelation. Moses got along with God in the wilderness, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. Jesus, the Son of God, even in the midst of a very fruitful ministry, he said, I'm going to withdraw myself, and I'm going to go pray. You see, we need to be in a place of isolation. We need to prepare to meet the Lord, to do business with God. We need to make Jesus, God, a priority in our life. Number four, we need to rest on his promises. Look in verse 4. And so he says that, so he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai. Now, why did Moses take two tablets of stone? Why didn't he just take one? Well, because he was expecting God to say something to him so he could write it down. And see, when you spend time with God, expect God to give you something. A lot of people say, well, we're going to pray for rain. Well, bring your umbrella then. Because God's going to do something. Why did Moses take those tablets? Because he wanted to hear from God. And you know, sometimes, friend, listen, the weakest ink is stronger than the best memory. And so we need to write those things down. And we need to write down the promises of God that He will be with us, that He will go with us. And share with the world what God has shown you by spending time with Him. The fifth thing, look in verse 8. It says, so Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. God is seeking such to worship Him. When Moses got the truth from God, which is what you'll get every time you talk to God, God's not going to sugarcoat anything for you. God's not going to change what He says to fit what you like. And so when Moses got the truth from God, he bowed down, he worshiped Him. Moses was praising God. God, thank you for your revelation. God, thank you for what you've given me. Now, God, I'm going to go share that with these people who are complaining, who are murmuring. God, I love these people. God, would you spare these people? Because God called them a bunch of stiff-necked people. And he told Moses, he said, guess what, Moses? You want to know my way, but these people only know my works. And I want to ask you today, do you want to know God's way? Not just His works, not just what you can see Him do, but His way. Being intimate with Him. Not just being infatuated, but being intimate with Him. You know, we were at a awards day, and I shared this with some of you who were in our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And we were at awards day this past week for Jake and Allie, and very proud of them and for their accomplishments. But there was one girl there, and she had earmuffs on because she was autistic and she couldn't let the noise get to her because she needed to stay calm. And she had a teacher, and it touched my heart in such a way that really blessed me. And God just spoke to me in the small things in life. And this one little girl, her name was called, and it was the only award she got. And she's walking up to the stage, she's just crying. Thank you for what you've given me. And after her name was called and it was time for her to go back down, she looked at her teacher. She said, I just love you. Thank you. And then she went over and she hugged Mr. Langston, the principal. She said, I just love you, Mr. Langston. Thank you. You know, God has given us a gift. It's called salvation. By grace through faith. And all He wants us to do is say, I love you, God, unashamedly, openly, freely, I love you. I don't care who's around. I don't care who sees me. I love you, God, for what you've done. I just want to praise you, Lord. And then, prayer. Look in verse 9. It says, then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. You know, friends, when we come to pray before God, we need to ask God to forgive us of our sin. If there's something in us, maybe we've got something wrong with a brother or sister, we need to go to them and we need to deal with that. Because the Bible says if we harbor hatred in our heart for our brother or our sister, God's not going to hear our prayers. And so our prayers won't even reach the ceiling. There's unforgiveness and hatred in our heart. And Moses is praying for others. He's praying for these people today. And I want to ask you, who do you need to pray for? Maybe it's a lost family member. Maybe it's that, God, will you just draw me close today? God, will you be with me today? God, will you help me
in my life and my problems that I deal with daily. Only God can answer what your heart desires, friend. And so pray to Him today. Pray for others. Pray for our church. Pray for our pastor. And then practice. Look in verses 10 and 11. And He said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among you shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you." And then He says in verse 11, "Observe what I command you this day." You know, God's word is not written to be read simply for information. It's to be read for transformation. God is saying to us today, if you want my presence in your life, then you've got to keep my word. It's not enough to just read it. You don't get close to God just by reading His word. You get close to God by observing His word, by practicing His word, by making it applicable to your life. And if Jesus Christ is not real to you, then you need to get His word and keep His word in your heart and see what happens in your life. God will change your life. We need to practice the things of God. You know, the Bible says over in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 21, it says, "Those are the ones that love me that keep my commandments." And so if you love Jesus, the Bible says that we'll keep His commandments, we'll keep His word, we'll practice His word. And then the last thing is power. Look in verse 29. And it says here in verse 29, "Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And so when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with them on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with them, he would take the veil off until he came out, and he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with God." Now, here's what you need to understand about power. Moses had been spending so much time with God that his face began to shine like the Shekinah glory of God. He had spent so much time hearing from God and then sharing that with the people and then going back into the tabernacle and hearing from God and sharing that with the people that his face had shone like the Shekinah glory of God. You know, for when I grill out, I've got one of them chimney things that I put my charcoal in. And I'll take a match and I'll put some newspaper underneath there or whatever, and it begins to smoke. And after a while, that charcoal, which I use wood charcoal, those big chunks of wood charcoal, after a while, because the fire has been on that charcoal for so long, that charcoal has got the fire in it. It begins to glow. Now listen, friend, when you spend time with God, then you begin to get all the glory and all the shine all over you. You begin to get the power of God in your life. And people can see that when you've spent time with God. Just like that charcoal has spent time underneath that fire for so long. Don't you want that power today as you leave here? The Bible says that it is in you. The Holy Spirit of God is in you today. And I just want to read in closing a verse of scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "But in the ministry of death," that is the Ten Commandments. When Moses came down from the mountain, he had the Ten Commandments. If you didn't keep all the Ten Commandments, you're going to die. "Written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away." Then it says in verse 8, "How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" And then in verse 17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed to the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." What he's saying is this: if Moses came down from those mountains with Ten Commandments, and he had the shining glory of God upon them, and that was glorious, how much more glorious is it for us as Christians to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives? That, God says, is more glorious. Power, practice, prayer, praise, priority, prepare, all of that, and you will draw close to God. There was a fire in a building. A young boy was trapped in the building. And if someone didn't get to this young boy, he was going to burn alive. The firemen were there, and there was a pole outside of this building that reached to this young boy. The fire had been surrounding this pole for so long that it was so hot that you didn't want to touch it. But if someone didn't get to this boy, he was going to die. A fireman had started climbing up that building and up that pole. And that pole was so hot, even though he had gloves on, his gloves were smoking. He got to that boy and took that boy in his arms and then came back down that pole. That hot pole. When he got down to the ground, he threw his gloves off and began to rinse his hands in water because he wanted some relief from the pain. The boy had been brought to safety. Unfortunately, his parents had passed away in the fire. A few months later, this boy came up for adoption. A man came into the courtroom and he said, "Judge, I want to adopt this boy. I'm a professor. I can make this man a genius, this boy a genius." Another man came into the courtroom. He was an engineer. He said, "Judge," he said, "I want to adopt this boy." He said, "I can help this boy." And then a third man came into the room. And the boy looked at him and he said, "Judge," he said, "I want that man to adopt me." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because I can see his hands and I know who he is." You know, having an engineer, having an educator, having a doctor is all fine. But when you can see the hands of someone that has rescued you and loved you enough that he's willing to share in your pain, that he's willing to share in your heartaches, that he's willing to go through life with you, when you see his hands and you see that the pain that he's been through, it makes you to want to have a close relationship with him. And can I tell you today, Jesus saying, look at my hands. Look at what I have done for you. I love you. I shed my blood for you. Why don't you want to be close to me? What a great thing it could be if all of us in this building today would say, forget about the distractions, God. I just want to look to you today. This church will be on fire for the Lord. And that's what God wants us to be, doesn't he? He wants us to be on fire for him. I don't know what you're going through in your life today, but I know this, God is bigger than anything and anyone. And God is saying to you today, speaking to you, I love you. I just want you to love me back. You love all these other things, but today you need to focus on me. For the rest of your life, I gave my life for you. You need to give your life for me. Let's bow in prayer today. God, we thank you today for your word. God, I pray today that we would not just be satisfied with just having eternal life. We wouldn't just be satisfied with just having heaven. We wouldn't just be satisfied with having food and finances and fashion and homes and cars and all of that stuff. Because what good is all of that without your presence, God? I pray today, God, that we would draw close to you. We would examine our life. And whatever, Lord, that we need to do to be intimate with you, I pray, God, that you'll prick our hearts today. I pray, God, that you'll dig deep today and dig it out and get it out so that we can focus on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as God leads you here this morning. Whatever it is in your life that you need to bring to the altar today, you come to him.